Now, Reverend Beverly Cease from the UU Fellowship of Kokomo is going to deliver her sermon, Meeting Human Needs, Justice, and Planting Flowers.
Thank you. This is the first time I have ever been invited and come to speak at another congregation. So I was a little nervous about it, but I got on fairly early, so I was able to talk with some of the folks that were on early. And so now I feel really good about this, just being able to meet other UUs in Indiana and hearing some of the stories and information about your congregation. So I'm really glad to be here. So here we go again. Another new year has rolled around and we're still here, still comparatively secure, and as always, faced with some choices. After the frustrations of the past couple of years, those people who are dichotomists might theoretically say it's time to give up or give a damn. That's a pretty stark choice. And I really don't expect anyone here to take the first option of giving up, even though we can see the many difficult situations in our current society. We also see that the world can use our contributions of compassion and wisdom, and that we need to move forward to address in the coming months. In spite of the challenges we face in the next 287 days of 2022, we Unitarian Universalists declare that we choose to believe in the inherent goodness and dignity of every person. We believe that all the dimensions of our being carry the potential to do good. We celebrate the gifts of being human, our intelligence and capacity for observation and reason, our senses and ability to appreciate beauty, our creativity, our feelings and emotions. We cherish our bodies as well as our souls. We can use our gifts to offer love, to work for justice, to heal injury, to create pleasure for ourselves and others in this new year. Amanda Gorman is ending her extraordinary year on a hopeful note. This 23-year-old poet, whose reading of her verse, "The Hill We Climb," at President Joe Biden's inauguration, made her an international sensation. She posted that reading and accompanying, she posted a reading and accompanying video on Instagram to mark the end of 2021, what we read this morning, New Day's Lyric, which is a 5-stanza, 48-line resolution with themes of struggle and healing. Poets rarely enjoy the kind of attention Gorman received in 2021. But in an email to the Associated Press, she reflected less on her own success than on the state of the country. Gorman wrote that the chaos and instability of the past year had made her reject the idea of going back to normal and instead fight to move beyond it. She mentioned Maya Angelou's poem, Human Family, and added, "To be a family, a country, doesn't necessitate that we be the same or agree on everything, only that we continue to try to see the best in each other and move forward into a shared future. Whether we like it or not, we are in this together." Gorman offered an alliterative response when asked what inspired New Day's Lyric, telling the AP reporter that she wanted to write a lyric to honor the hardships, hurt, hope, and healing of 2021, while also hearkening the potential of 2022. "This is such a unique New Year's Day," she wrote, "because even as we toast our glasses to the future, we still have our heads bowed for what has been lost. I think one of the most important things the New Year reminds us of is that old adage, 'This too shall pass.' Amanda Gorman ended her interview with the press saying, "You can't relive the same day twice," meaning every dawn is a new one and every year an opportunity to step into the light. Well, sometimes I wish I could renew a day and have another chance to get it right, like Bill Murray did in the movie Groundhog Day. Of course, I humbly assume that it wouldn't take me as many attempts as it did egotistical weatherman Phil Connors. Can you believe needing 3,176 days to become a decent person? Throughout human history, there have been mistakes made in troubling global and national situations, and there probably always will be. And it's the same for us at the personal level. We want to help solve some of the problems we're aware of. We want to get it right, and we could commit to being our most loving and patient selves for this coming year, and then blow it just tomorrow morning when something like another driver carelessly backing into your car happens. We may promise ourselves to be more kind and generous with our friends and family this year and sincerely mean it, but things happen and nerves get frayed or tragedy strike and we feel like giving up. That's when we must make the choice to see the bigger picture, to decenter our current situation and focus on a wider view of our life's potential. That's when we must make the choice to take part in the larger community and dedicate ourselves to meeting some of the glaring human needs all around us. That's when we must do as the little guy did in the comic strip. When the world seems dark, we have to plant flowers. We can't just wait around being gloomy, waiting for someone else to come up with solutions. We have to be part of the solution. We have to find ways to help bend the arc of the moral universe toward justice. As Barack Obama has been quoted as saying, it doesn't bend on its own. It's interesting to me that the full quote that the former president was referring to was written by a Universalist minister named Theodore Parker. It was a section of one of his sermons titled "Of Justice and the Conscience," and then used again in a speech delivered in the hall of the State House before the Massachusetts Anti-Slavery Convention on January 29, 1858, titled "The Present Aspect of Slavery in America and the Immediate Duty of the North." The full paragraph goes like this. "Look at the facts of the world. You see a continual and progressive triumph of the right. I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. My eye reaches but little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by the experience of sight. I can only divine it by conscience. But from what I see, I am sure it bends toward justice. Things refuse to be mismanaged long. Jefferson trembled when he thought of his participation in slavery and remembered that God is just. Ere long, all America will tremble." Martin Luther King Jr. paraphrased this sentiment in 1964. Ending his sermon delivered at the baccalaureate service for Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut, saying, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." So, what is justice? Here's what John Rawls says, whose book, A Theory of Justice, is apparently a classic of modern political philosophy. In this work, Rawls puts forward his theory of justice as fairness. He argues that to be fair, the basic institutions of society must be regulated by two principles of justice, the liberty principle and the difference principle. Some of you may have had the opportunity to watch the 2-minute video on justice. It's not an easy concept, but here is my simple explanation of these two principles. The liberty principle states that each individual should have as much liberty as they possibly can, but that liberty cannot infringe on the liberty of other individuals. And the liberties that Rawls lists are similar to our Constitution's Bill of Rights. Political liberty, that is the right to vote and to be eligible for public office, together with freedom of speech and assembly, liberty of conscience and freedom of thought, freedom of the person along with the right to hold personal property, and freedom from arbitrary arrest and seizure. Each person is to have an equal right to the most extensive basic liberties. And then the difference principle, which has two parts, distribution of economic advantages and the distribution of social positions. The difference principle states that these must be arranged so as to be to the maximal advantage of the least advantaged. The differences we are born with or are granted to us by the family we are born into should be accounted for in the distribution of resources so as to eliminate the difference in our opportunities. This is the more controversial of Rawls's two principles. Most everyone agrees to equal liberties for all, but leveling of economic and social positions often scares those who have the most to share. Yet I believe this theory of justice presents a vision of society worth striving for, one that assures all people parity and equal opportunities for life success, rather than the deplorable conditions that some adults and children are forced to endure through no fault of their own. There are other theories of justice. Utilitarianism has been favored for a long time. The main idea is that society is rightly ordered and therefore just when its major institutions are arranged so as to achieve the greatest net balance of satisfaction summed over all the individuals belonging to it. However, this theory allows for very poor and miserable conditions for some, as long as the citizens of a society on average are doing well. Perfectionism is another alternative theory of justice. Legal perfectionism is the doctrine according to which officials may adopt and enforce laws according to those officials' understanding of a good life, with the intended practical effect that people governed by such laws will lead better lives. Those who follow the laws are able to become their best selves. But this arrangement allows for the officials to make policies that would tip the scales in their own favor and those of their circle. Peers. It assumes that a few people can be trusted to know what is best for all other people and what a perfect life should be. I believe these last two are closer to the system of justice we now live under in this country. Those who don't succeed are sometimes treated like they just haven't followed the rules closely enough and can be blamed for their own misery. Neither of these two seems as compelling as Rawls's or as concerned about justice for the most disadvantaged. We have examples in our society and within the UUA of attempts to move toward a justice system more concerned about fairness for all people. Some of our UUA leaders are promoting policies that are designed to make up for past injustices that have disadvantaged people of color and other minority populations. It does seem like the right thing to do for these groups, and I support finding all the ways that can be used to level the playing field and bring along all people to the same starting line with all the assistive devices they need to have an equal chance at success. The questions remain, however. How long do living white people have to pay for the sins of their forebears? Where does justice lie in this situation? Is it temporarily fair to disadvantage some people to balance out the wrongs that were done to other people in the past? There are no easy answers, but there are always lots of ways for us to work at meeting human needs. Here in this fellowship, as in my own group in Kokomo, I'm sure that you are all supportive participants of various groups that increase the balance of access and opportunities for traditionally underserved and disadvantaged people. I got an overwhelming response of offers from my congregation to help an elderly woman who came by the church a week or so before Christmas asking for money to get gifts for her grandchildren. Several days later, another congregant and I delivered gifts for the whole extended family, as well as holiday groceries that were collected to the apartment where this woman lived, and she was so surprised and grateful. Opportunities abound where we can work for justice and for ways to share our concern and our bounty with less fortunate neighbors in our community. I have to remind myself of this when I get discouraged and feel like having a poor me pity party. Then I have to work at decentering myself and consider the struggles other people are dealing with and managing to survive. In closing, in the words of Barack Obama in a 2009 Time magazine article, with gratitude to Unitarian Minister Theodore Parker for his inspiring words, which were passed along by Martin Luther King Jr., quote, "While you can't necessarily bend history to your will, you can do your part to see that it bends toward justice. So I hope that you will stand up and do what you can to serve your community, shape our history, and enrich both your own life and the lives of others across this country," unquote. That was our president's wish, and that is also my wish for all of you for this new year. Thank you.